Now, the preterists come along, though, and here's what they say. They say this is not the third temple. This is the second temple. And this is why they think the book of Revelation had to have been written in A.D. 70 or prior to A.D. 70, because they say the temple was destroyed in A.D. 70. So how could John be referring to a temple when the temple had not yet been destroyed? So it must be referring to the second temple that was yet to be destroyed by the Romans in A.D. 70. See, we say Revelation 11 is the third temple. They say it's a reference to the second temple. And this is one of the tools that they use to argue that the book of Revelation is really speaking of events that already happened in A.D. 70. How much sense does that really make? Can't John have a vision of a future temple at a time when the temple wasn't standing? Is that too hard for God to do? You see, we believe the book of Revelation was written 25 years after A.D. 70. John was on the island of Patmos in A.D. 95. 25 years, the temple had been destroyed, and God gives John a vision of a future temple yet to come. By the way, did Ezekiel have visions of the temple? Yes, he did. Did Daniel have visions of the temple? Yes, he did. Check the chronology out. What you'll discover is Ezekiel and Daniel had their temple visions during a time period when the first temple had already been destroyed and the second temple was yet to be rebuilt. So it is completely within the ability of God, the power of God, the sovereignty of God, to give someone a vision of a futuristic temple, despite the fact that the temple was not in existence. All of this to say that you don't have to interpret Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2, as some kind of reference to the second temple on the grounds that the temple hadn't been destroyed yet. It's completely possible for God to give someone a vision of a future temple despite the fact that the temple had already been destroyed. That's what we believe God is giving to John on the island of Patmos, is exactly what he gave to Ezekiel and Daniel. And by the way, if you make this vision of the temple in Revelation 11 about the second temple in A.D. 70, what do you do with the rest of the chapter? What does the rest of the chapter talk about? It talks about two witnesses who are slain. They rise from the dead, and the whole world looks on in amazement. How in the world did an event like that already happen in A.D. 70? I mean, you could search the historical records all you want, but there is no historical evidence of the happening of any such event. What Gentry, a preterist, argues is the two witnesses probably represent a small body of Christians who remained in Jerusalem to testify against the temple. They are portrayed as two in that they are legal witnesses to the covenant curses. Do you see what he just did there? All of a sudden you get to the rest of Revelation 11 and he gets very allegorical with this interpretation. He says, oh, that just represents a body of believers. Well, it doesn't say that. It says two witnesses. Not one, not three, but two. Their specific ministry is described. The duration of their ministry is described. 3.5 years. So you see what preterists do. They take Revelation 11, 1 and 2 literally, and then you move out through the rest of the chapter, and when the details don't fit their theology, all of a sudden the details become non-literal. And this is a problem because when you buy into a method of interpretation, you have to apply it consistently. If the temple in Revelation 11, 1 and 2 is literal, then so is the rest of the chapter. I can't have it both ways and say, well, this part I like and this part I don't like. Continuing on here, let me take you to an eighth area. Let's go over to Revelation 12 for just a minute. This is the woman clothed with the sun and the moon and the 12 stars. Who do we think this woman is? We think it's Israel being persecuted by the beast and the dragon, midway through the tribulation period. What do the preterists believe this woman represents? Kenneth Gentry says in Revelation 12, John backs up chronologically in order to show the mother church in Jerusalem, which was being protected from Satan-inspired resistance. This would cover the time frame from Christ's ministry through the book of Acts up until the destruction of Jerusalem. So he doesn't interpret this woman clothed with the sun and moon and 12 stars as the nation of Israel. He says that's the church. And it's the church that is functioning and trying to survive in the events of AD 70. Does that interpretation hold up? Do you find the word church in Revelation 12? I don't see it. Beyond that, look at Revelation 12, verse 5, just for a second. This is very important. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5. What does it say here? It says, "And she," that's the woman, "gave birth to a son." Who's the son? Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a simple question? Did the church give birth to Jesus Christ? It's the other way around, isn't it? Jesus gave birth to the church. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." The woman here could not be the church, because the church never gave birth to Jesus. Jesus gave birth to the church. The woman here is Israel. It's through Israel that the Messiah came. Israel is the one that gave birth to the church. And beyond that, you have a major problem with Genesis 37, 9 and 10, which we went over last night, which clearly indicates that the woman clothed with the sun and the moon and the 12 stars is the nation of Israel from Joseph's dream. You go through Revelation 12, it talks about all kinds of things. It talks about the earth opening up and helping the nation of Israel. Did the earth ever open up in AD 70? Not that I'm aware of. Beyond that, it talks about the woman being clothed with the eagle's wings and protected. Have you ever studied that out in the Bible? When you cross-reference it with Exodus 19 and verse 4, you'll see it's a description of the protection that God gave to Israel in the events of the Exodus itself. Did anything like that happen in AD 70? I don't think so. Let me take you to a ninth area, and this has to do with the beast or the Antichrist. Let's go over just for a minute to Revelation 13. Who is this beast? Well, we think it's a future Antichrist, don't we? Someone that's yet future. Who do preterists think this beast is? Well, they think it's Nero. Nero, who lived as a Roman emperor around AD 64 and the years that followed, they think it's a prophecy about him. Well, how do they get that? They get it from the number 666, which is a number you're all very familiar with. You find it in Revelation 13 and verse 18. And they get it from a practice called gematria. Gematria is the idea that ancient alphabets in the ancient world had a letter and a number connected to the alphabet. So everybody's name could be converted into Greek or Hebrew for that matter, and you could attach the right number to the right letter, add up the total, and everybody's name could be converted to a specific number. This is how the people in the tribulation period itself will be able to recognize who the Antichrist is. They will be able to take his name, convert it into Greek, use gematria, attach the right number to the right letter, add up the total, and it will yield the total 666. In fact, one night I couldn't sleep very well, and my wife said, "What's the problem?" And I said, "Well, how do I know I'm not the Antichrist?" And so I went downstairs and I got out my little table here and I took my name and converted into Greek and added up the letters. And fortunately, my name did not come out to 666. Although I was a little bit nervous on the way over here because my baggage claim, the last three numbers were 666. But anyway, when I figured out I wasn't the Antichrist, I went right back to sleep. But anyway, that's sort of the idea, is gematria. And what preterists basically believe is you take the name Caesar Nero, you convert it into Hebrew. Now watch this very carefully. They're converting it into Hebrew, not Greek. Why are they using Hebrew when the book of Revelation was written to a Greek-speaking audience? Well, the reason they're using Hebrew instead of Greek is because it doesn't work out in Greek. It works out in Hebrew. And notice what they're also doing is they're adding in Nero's title, Caesar Nero. Now, you read Revelation 13, and you look at verse 18, and it never mentions a title at all, does it? It says, "Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man. His number is 666. It doesn't say anything about a title, but they've got to throw in the title to make the numerical calculation work. So they take the name Neron Caesar. They use the gematria table. They take the Hebrew alphabet and attach the right number to the right letter. They add up the total and it yields 666. And they say, aha, the Antichrist is not someone yet future. The Antichrist is someone that's already come in the past.